And other authorities, including the Secret Service, have been quoted as identifying that suspect as John W. Hinckley, Jr. of Evergreen, Colorado. More information really is known about him, except he is the man being held as the alleged assailant, a man who, with a .38 caliber revolver, fired from 4 to 6 bullets, four of them taking effect, one of them striking the press secretary, James Brady, in the head, another one hitting a Secret Service agent, another one hitting a District of Columbia policeman, and the fourth bullet lodging, as we learned to our shock later, in the left chest of the President of the United States, who is undergoing or has just undergone surgery for removal of the bullet and for repair of the damage the bullet made in its entry. So we don't really know too much about him, this man from Colorado, and perhaps my colleague Morton Dean knows more. Morton, what have you been able to find out?
We don't know much more, Reed. I was just talking with a resident who is a personal friend of one of our CBS colleagues, a resident of Evergreen, has a business office there, Evergreen, Colorado, where the suspect's family lives. And he said that a squad of about 6 Secret Service agents had just come into his office looking for the family's home. So apparently they are on the way to learn more about the young man themselves. We are told that, to the best of the information of these local people there, Hinckley is 23 years old. They believe he did attend the local high school, Evergreen High School, and that his family lives in what was described to me as the wealthiest part of this very wealthy Denver suburb. I know no more than that.
So the information has a habit of flowing in bits and pieces, and sometimes it backs up and goes the other direction for a few moments. Did it appear to you, Mort, that it was strange that the White House first put out the word, the president's okay, he's not hit, he's not hurt? I wonder if it's possible that perhaps that was an intended bit of misinformation for the moment.
Well, possibly. I remember... My initial reaction upon seeing the tape and hearing that was, do you want to bet? I thought at the time that it was uncertain, but I think that information was based on some eyewitness reports that a president seemed to have been thrust into the car and did not appear to have been hit, and then later we heard a report that the president himself did not know that he had been wounded until he arrived at the hospital, which is hard to believe, but adrenaline, when it's flowing, does some rather strange things.
So we'll wait until, first of all, we receive the post-operative report from George Washington University Hospital on the progress of the operation for the bullet removal and the prognosis for recovery of the president. One of those days that caught the world watching Poland, when suddenly it was polarized in Washington, D.C., this nation's own capital. Secretary of State Haig is in the White House, and he will, I presume, remain there until the situation becomes more clear. They're awaiting the arrival from Texas of Vice President George Bush, who, of course, would assume command in the event of the incapacity of Mr. Reagan to continue it. But for now, nothing has been determined legally or constitutionally to the effect that Mr. Reagan is not able to lead the country. And we're going to find out more about that, not from constitutionalists, probably, but from doctors, once this thing settles down. We do have reaction coming in from all over the place. We've heard from Margaret Thatcher early on, a confidant and good friend and a political ally of Mr. Reagan's from London. We have had some comment from Helmut Schmidt of West Germany, who, as we mentioned, spoke only today with the president by telephone. They talked mainly about Poland. And on the passing, by the way, of Mr. Schmidt's father, the president having relayed his condolences to him at first about that. Reactions coming in also from France, from all of Europe, in fact, but Bernard Redmont's on the line in Paris. And Bernard, what do people feel about this thing there?
The attack on President Reagan provided the number one news on all of the newscasts, and the news was extended. It's just 11:45, just before midnight now, and people have called each other. People are listening to the radio and watching television. It's on much later than usual. Television doesn't stay all night. President Giscard d'Estaing learned of the attack on Mr. Reagan while participating in a French television program as part of the current presidential election campaign. The French president said on the air that he would send Mr. Reagan a message of sympathy as soon as he returned to the Élysée Palace after the program. And he remarked on the program that, unfortunately, we live in a world of violence. Giscard d'Estaing later sent this telegram to Mr. Reagan. He said, "Having learned of the attack in which you were a victim, I want to express to you my most heartfelt and friendly wishes for your complete recovery and for the early continuation of your mandate at the head of the U.S. government."
All right, let's go to another capital. We've read a little bit from Helmut Schmidt, but let's get a better flavor of the European feeling. And let's go to our colleague Doug Sefton, who's in Bonn, West Germany.
West German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt got the news as he arrived at Cologne Airport on a flight from West Berlin. Schmidt said he heard the news with deepest disgust and added that he hoped that the news was accurate, that President Reagan was not seriously injured. He offered in a cable his sincere wishes that the American president would have an early recovery and added that he also hoped President Reagan's colleagues, meaning Press Secretary Brady and Secret Service man McCarthy, also would survive in good shape. It's late at night here in Germany, but the menace that seems to hang over Americans in public life already is being talked about. Doug Sefton, CBS News, Bonn.
And so the reaction comes in, as it will continue through the day and the rest of this evening and probably tomorrow. Condolences, expressions of shock, and the renewed surprise at the way in which this society seems unable to govern itself at times. Within the past 30 minutes, or maybe a half hour or so, the Secretary of State Haig, we've heard some of what he's said, but he's become one of the more articulate of the spokesmen describing what's happening and how it's happening, since he, after all, does pull rank over most of the deputy White House people who are left around to speak in the White House. He joined the White House spokesman at a briefing, and he talked to reporters, and here's what Mr. Haig had to say.
First, as you know, we're in close touch
with the Vice President, who is returning to Washington. We have in the Situation Room all of the officials of the Cabinet who should be here and ready at this time. We have informed our friends abroad of the situation, the President's condition as we know it. Stable, now undergoing surgery, and there are absolutely no alert measures that are necessary at this time or contemplate. Now, if you have some questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Crisis management, that sort of thing put into effect when it's good to arrive?
Crisis management is in effect.
Who is making the decision for the government right now? Who's making the decision?
Constitutionally, gentlemen, you have the President, the Vice President, and the Secretary of State in that order. And should the President decide he wants to transfer the helm to the Vice President, he will do so. As of now, I am in control here in the White House, pending return of the Vice President, and in close touch with him. If something came up, I would check with him, of course.
What are the extent of the President's injury?
Well, as best we know, he's had one round into his body, in the left side, into the left lung, and there is a surgery underway to remove the round now. When the President entered surgery, he was conscious. All his signs were stable, and the situation is very clear.
Did you commit surgery? Before surgery?
No, I did not, nor was it necessary. I was in close touch with both Mr. Meese and Mr. Baker throughout, and have been from the early moments.
Approximately when did you arrive at the White House?
Very few moments after the incident.
And do you know what is the condition, Mr. Brady?
We understand that I just saw on television what you saw, and it sounds serious.
What's the reaction of the soldiers to this?
I don't anticipate any reaction. I think you've gotten all that you need for the moment, and thank you.
Will you remain in charge here until the Vice President?
We'll stay right where we are until the situation clarifies.
When does the Vice President expect the surgery, sir?
When is the vice president expected here?
Hey,
later this afternoon. He'll be here shortly.
When the operation began, sir, on the president, about what time?
Was I here? Yes, I was here.
What time was the operation?
I don't know. Just it was shortly after that announcement that you heard on the radio.
What time will the vice president be back, sir?
Early evening. I'm not going to make it a habit of saying where he'll be back.
Will you come back and talk to us, son?
Thank you. If it's necessary, of course.
Any additional measures being taken? Was there a conspiracy or was this a lot?
There are no indications of anything like that now, and we are not going to say a word on that subject until the situation clarifies, of course.
From what you know, the president's condition, that the vice president will have to, for a period of time, take the role of acting president?
That's a fundamentally premature question, and I couldn't answer it. Thank you very much.
And that was the appearance a short time ago in the White House briefing room, in the press room, by Secretary of State Alexander Haig, who described, as you heard, his own position in the matter. He is effectually in charge, depending upon what George Bush, who's in the air, wants to do, with the president under anesthesia. So that would be the normal chain of command from the president to the vice president down to the Secretary of State. And no one has decided, really, that that Mr. Reagan is not in capable hands and is not able to function. But for now, the routine work is being handled in tandem by the Secretary of State and by the Vice President, Mr. Bush, who is en route to Washington from Texas. He's airborne now and should be there in a couple of hours. We do have some more reaction coming in from Plains, Georgia, where the former President of the United States, Jimmy Carter, has had something to say. My colleague John Shayans down there.
Former President Jimmy Carter was at his home here in Plains when he heard the news of the shooting. His office has put out a brief statement saying, quote, President Carter is anxiously awaiting further word on President Reagan's condition and that of the others wounded. He and Mrs. Carter join the entire nation in prayer for the well-being of all those wounded and for their families, end of quote. John Shan at Plains, Georgia.
And so it continues. Well wishes and confusion, expressions of shock from foreign nations who don't understand, as we don't also sometimes, the machinations of America's society. The president, as we have said, in case you possibly could not have heard, was emerging from a Washington hotel, the Hilton, when he was hit by a bullet. He just delivered a speech, which was a pitch for his economic program, to a trades affiliate of the AFL-CIO. And that was the scene. He was wounded slightly. We hope it was slightly. He had a bullet in the chest. James Brady, his press secretary, more seriously wounded with a bullet in the head. And the two officers of the law, Delahanty of the Metropolitan Police, was wounded. He's said to be in bad shape. Critical condition, we're told. And the Secret Service agent, McCarthy, also was wounded. And assailants in custody. George Herman, my colleague George, is now in Washington. George, can you add to this?
Well, Reed, one further note. Our local station here, WDVM, which has friends inside the hospital, has reported that in the process of exploratory surgery, they have found some minor bleeding in the president's chest and lung. They found no blood or reason to expect any blood in his abdomen, that the exploratory surgery was proceeding and that all was going well as far as the surgical process was concerned. George Washington University Hospital is a teaching hospital. It is one of the best hospitals in Washington. Presidents, of course, are traditionally taken to Walter Reed, but that's largely because of the security of a military hospital like Walter Reed or Bethesda Naval Hospital. But George Washington University is a fine first-class hospital in downtown Washington, only blocks from the White House, and was the quickest and, I suppose, in any sense at all, the wisest place to take the president. If he should have a long convalescence in hospital, it's possible that they might want to take him to Walter Reed, once again, simply for security reasons. There is no sort of VIP suite in George Washington University Hospital as there is at Walter Reed. Still no word at all, as many Washington and other reporters around the country will be wondering, no word at all about James Brady, the press secretary. The CBS News television tapes of Mr. Brady when he was shot show him lying on the sidewalk, apparently conscious, his feet moving, but unpleasantly large puddle of blood by his head where he was shot. So still no word. We do know that he is also undergoing surgery at the moment after a CAT scan. It's a kind of a complicated computer-assisted X-ray of the head to show exactly where the bullet was and what its path had taken and what remedy was advisable under the circumstances. So actually no word on him. And the other two, I think you've already reported on, Mr. Delahanty and Secret Surgeon Service Agent Timothy McCarthy, who was shot in the chest. We only know that his condition is still considered to be critical, whereas Mr. Delahanty, the police agent of 12 years' experience on the force here in Washington, has a bullet in the neck, and he is not any longer on the critical list. He's now considered on the serious list, which is, I'm sure his family would agree, somewhat of an improvement, although not an awful lot. So that is about the situation at the moment with the reports coming in. And I think the rest of it you have covered fairly well, and I would simply be repeating what you have said.
Thank you, George Herman in Washington, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more from Mr. Herman through the night. George, if I may, I think it might be well to understand why we're not being given a great deal of information from the hospital about the president's condition. I suppose even in a post-operative fashion, you have a recovery process, and it may take people just a matter of time to work it up, as it were.
Well, as a matter of fact, I've had some experience with the thoracic department of George Washington University Hospital, fine surgeons who operated on one of my children there, and they like to do their work, like any surgeons, in thorough, concentrated fashion, thinking only of the work they are doing. And anybody who's ever had a relative in a hospital knows that you really have to wait until the surgery is over and there's been a brief period of observing the signs, the vital signs of the patient after the surgery, before a surgeon is likely to come out and talk to you. And especially in this case, where, of course, the doctors as well as the White House people who are gathered at the hospital, quite a large contingent of White House staff gathered at the hospital, are extremely anxious that there should be no false excitement, no unnecessary panic, so to speak. And they are very anxious to get a definitive, clear, cool assessment of exactly what the situation is. I've been through this process now, Reed, with, three presidents previously, three presidents perhaps, including this, with President Eisenhower's heart attack, through President Kennedy's assassination, and now this attempt. Of course, George Wallace being shot just outside Washington in the shopping center right near here, and now President Reagan. And the anxiety of the press is understandable to get news because the American people want to know where their leaders are and what their conditions are. But the interests and anxieties of the doctors and of the White House staff and, of course, the candidate staff in the case of George Wallace run in a different direction, and that is to assess fully in every detail so that when they do give a report, it's not some fragmented, nonsensical thing as happened in the early days of President Eisenhower's illness. At one point, one of President Eisenhower's, when he had a slight stroke while he was in the White House after his heart attack, one of President Eisenhower's aides came rushing out into the press room in response to queries from the press and said he's had a cerebral infarct, which, as I understand it, is some kind of a heart attack. Well, of course, it wasn't. It was a stroke, an injury to the brain. So the anxiety after all this experience on the part of White House staff people who have studied the history of these things is to make sure not that you get it out quickly, but that you get it out correctly, because it is extremely important.
Thank you, George. To tell you what we do know, Mr. Reagan was wounded by one of several bullets that were fired at him and his party as he left a Washington hotel where he'd given a speech this afternoon. He was wounded in the left chest. He has undergone surgery for removal of the bullet. He walked into the hospital, we are told, was conscious at the time, and there he has undergone surgery, his condition described last as stable. His press secretary, James Brady, was apparently more severely wounded with a bullet in the head. His condition has not been released, but he has now undergone a scan to determine the extent of damage there. Two others also were hit, a Metropolitan policeman, Delahanty, a Secret Service agent named McCarthy, and McCarthy is believed to be badly hurt. The president is alive. He is in surgery. The vice president is flying back from Texas to Washington. Secretary of State Haig is coordinating things from the White House, and that is what we know. Reed Collins, CBS News, New York.
This is Cannon on CCO Radio. We're going to get CBS News
And I might mention that because of the shooting of the president, here at CCO we will not be running our regular commercial programs. We'll keep you apprised with our reports from CBS and also from our local WCCO News Bureau. And we will stay with this coverage until we're certain the president is safe and give you all the details. Over WCCO, Minneapolis, St. Paul, where it's 49 degrees, and it's now 4 o'clock.
CBS News, Douglas Edwards reporting. President Reagan was shot in the left chest in an assassination attempt shortly before 3 o'clock Eastern Time this afternoon as he left the Washington Hilton Hotel after addressing the AFL-CIO. The bullet pierced the president's left lung, and he has been in surgery for some time now. George Herman has reported that the president is undergoing exploratory surgery, that there was some bleeding in the lung area, but none in the abdominal region. We also have been told the president was given a blood transfusion. His condition is reported as stable. Mrs. Reagan is at his side. She rushed there from the White House when she got word of the assassination attempt. White House officials said Mr. Reagan walked into the hospital and was chatting with his aides as he did so. And now, a few minutes ago, Secretary of State Alexander Haig made this statement.
As you know, we're in close touch with the Vice President, who is returning to Washington. We have in the Situation Room all of the officials of the Cabinet who should be here and ready at this time. We have informed our friends abroad of the situation, the president's condition as we know it, stable, now undergoing surgery, and there are absolutely no alert measures that are necessary at this time or contemplate. Now, if you have some questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Crisis management, is that what it would be in effect when it's arrived?
Crisis management is in effect.
Who is making the decisions for the government right now? Who's making the decisions?
Constitutionally, gentlemen, you have the president, the vice president, and the secretary of state in that order. And should the president decide he wants to transfer the helm to the vice president, he will do so. As of now, I am in control here in the White House, pending return of the vice president, and in close touch with him. If something came up, I would check with him, of course.
What are the extent of the president's injury?
Well, as best we know, he's had one round into his body, in the left side, into the left lung, and there is a surgery underway to remove the round now. When the president entered surgery, he was conscious. His signs were stable, and the situation is very clear.
Vice President Bush has been summoned back to Washington from Texas, where he was en route to Austin to address the state legislature. At this time, there is no indication the reins of government will be turned over to Mr. Bush. The vice president is expected to arrive at Andrews Air Force Base early this evening. The members of the cabinet have sped to the White House to await developments, and of course you've just heard from Secretary of State Alexander Haig. Press Secretary James Brady was wounded in the head and is listed in very critical condition. He was taken immediately to an operating room at George Washington Hospital, and a White House aide said of Brady's condition, it doesn't look good. Secret Service agent Timothy McCarthy also was critically wounded, and Thomas K. Delahanty, a 17-year-old veteran of the District of Columbia Police Department, suffered a serious neck wound. The Secret Service has identified President Reagan's assailant as John Warnock Hinckley, 22 years of age, of Evergreen, Colorado. He was immediately tackled and pinned to the pavement by police officers and the Secret Service, and then he was whisked away by squad car to a nearby precinct. He reportedly was not injured in the incident. The Secret Service spokesman said Hinckley had fired a .38 caliber revolver. Former President Jimmy Carter has issued a statement saying he is anxiously awaiting further word of President Reagan's condition and that of the others who were wounded. He said he and Mrs. Carter joined the entire nation in prayers for the well-being of all those wounded and their families. A word from Senator Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts, who lost two of his brothers by assassination. Senator Kennedy said, with our prayers for those who have been wounded, I think we must go our resolution to rid our society of hatred. Violence and hatred are alien to everything this country is about. All trading on the nation's stock exchanges was halted moments after the shooting of the president. All of the markets indicated they would not resume trading today. The spokesman for the New York Stock Exchange said the last time trading was halted because of a news event was on January 25th, 1973, for the funeral of President Lyndon Johnson. Commandos, in other news, stormed the hijacked Indonesian airliner at Bangkok Airport today, rescuing all but one of the hostages and killing three hijackers and arresting two others.
Well, why don't we go to CBS in Washington now? You're on CCO Radio. It's 518. It's 49 degrees, Twin Cities.
This is Reed Collins, CBS News, New York, where we are continuing our coverage of the attempt on the life of President Ronald Reagan that happened a few hours ago in Washington, D.C., where the president had just completed a speech to the AFL-CIO Building Trades Council seeking labor support for his tax cut and austerity program that he's trying to push on Capitol Hill. Mr. Reagan had just exited the hotel where the speech had been delivered when a fusillade of shots rang out, four, perhaps six of them. Three men went down immediately on the sidewalk. The presidential press secretary, James Brady, a Secret Service man, Tim McCarthy, a District of Columbia policeman, Thomas Delahatty. They didn't move very much. The president was whisked into his limousine. He looked shocked. He had his arm up in the air. It came back down. He looked surprised, but he didn't look injured. And in fact, the White House made the announcement very quickly that Mr. Reagan had not been hurt by any of the bullets fired in his direction. As attention was focused on the other men being attended to on the sidewalk, it became clear later that Mr. Reagan was not returning to the White House, that the limousine was going to George Washington University Hospital, where indeed it did. He got out of the limousine, we're told, walked into the hospital, holding his hand over his left chest. He had, in fact, been wounded by one of those bullets, a .22 caliber round from a pistol. One of several fired from a young suspect who now is in police custody. Since that time, Mr. Reagan's undergone surgery of some extent. It's believed the bullet may still be lodged inside a lung. He received a precautionary and routine blood transfusion. His wife, Mrs. Reagan, was at the scene, hurrying to the hospital from the White House a few blocks away. At the hospital now, to give us the latest as we can glean it from there, my colleague, CBS News correspondent Nelson Benton. Nelson, what's happening?